Good morning, OA family. Thank you for letting me be here to share my experience, strength, and hope. I am Don G. I am a compulsive eater and restrictor, and there are so many things, exercise, bulimic, and all of that. But most importantly, I am in recovery and have a relationship with my higher power, and that is what is more important today than anything. So to tell you a little bit about myself, I don't know what started first in my life. I have mental issues, mental health issues, as well as an eating disorder, and I don't know what came first. You know, my family was a traditional German family, which in the hills of Pennsylvania, and you know, I can remember from the way back that I can remember, it was the baby's crying, give him food. Baby's good, give him sugar. The baby's bad, take the sugar. And so food has always had this odd relationship, punitive, reward, survival. So when I was four, my parents separated when I was two, and my dad moved to California, and my mother stayed with my brother and I in Pennsylvania. When I was four, my dad transferred us all to California, and within 6 months, my mother had disappeared. And so, to throw into everything else, I had these abandonment issues of being left behind by my main parent, and all the turmoil that went with that. I was raised in a, I guess, affluent family. I didn't think that, but we always had, you know, nannies and people to help in private schools. But that didn't help me because my father was a workaholic. He was never available. He was very violent when he was available. And I was a very needy child. As I said, I have mental health issues, and I don't know when they started coming up. I know the eating. I can remember taking my allowance to the store down the street and buying candy. And instead, people would buy toys and comic books, and I would buy Jolly Ranchers. I'm sorry if I'm mentioning food. Sorry, but I would buy them by the bags, and I would hide the wrappers so nobody would know. And you know, I was 8 or 9 years old doing this. And I didn't recognize my food as a problem. That should have been a trigger for somebody or a warning for somebody, but I didn't see it. Because I started incorporating other things. Yeah, I still had the food, but at 9 I started smoking. At 12 I started running away from home and using drugs and alcohol and sex to fill the void. But at that time, I have bipolar 2 disorder, and at that point in time, my bipolar was coming out as well. So it was all this mixed bag of mental health, eating disorder, and just forgive me because I hate to use this term so lackadaisical, but just craziness. I ended up getting married and having a child at 19, and that I dropped out of school in ninth grade and did the runaway thing. I really never lived at home much after that. I couch surfed on people's couches and did whatever it took to survive for a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid out in the world on their own, no parental supervision. And I got married at night at 18, had a baby at 19, and that kind of changed my life because I had to think of somebody else. It didn't always work. I was not a good parent to my child. I often say that she was the reason that I was born because it changed my outlook on life. I was still eating, but I was still doing drugs and drinking and using sexual relationships to treat my problem. But my main issue was I was at that point was I was the untreated bipolar, because my bipolar comes out in rages, and when you have rages, you put your rages on the people around you, which happened to be my child. My marriage had broken up by this point, and my rage, my focus of my rage and my victimhood was my child. Instead of realizing what a gift she was, I often blamed her for my circumstances, and I parented in the way that I was parented, which included abandonment and violence. A few years later, when I got married again and I started having children, because for me, children were going to be the solution. Children were going to give me the unconditional love and the acceptance that I needed. I didn't know that there was anything else going on in my life. I just thought that I wasn't loved enough. Nobody chose me often enough. Nobody made me important. Nobody, I but again, looking back and saying this, it seems wild that I felt this way, but I can actually remember thinking if I just had another child, it would fill that hole. If, everybody, so many other people have these desires. I want to be a teacher. I want to do this. I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to be the mother that I didn't have. And I wanted to bring into the world this little cohort of people that would love me and always choose me and always want me and always. And it's hard to admit that out loud, that that was my impetus for having children, because I love my children and I want them the best in the world for them today, but that was what it was. During my second marriage, I found food again. I trained my husband that if I was having a bad day, the best thing you could do is bring home a sheet cake. If I was upset in the morning, let's go get cinnamon rolls. I keep mentioning food. I'm sorry. Sweet things, sweet and flour and these things. And I trained my children in the same way. What I didn't know is I suffered from, I had my children, my three younger children. I had all three of them. There's 16 months between my first two, and there's 11 months between my second or my third and fourth. So I had them all, and I didn't know that I was suffering from bipolar depression that comes along with the not bipolar, postpartum depression. And I entered this phase where I left my rearing of my children to my husband and my oldest daughter, and I locked myself away in my room. And I didn't leave my room for 6 months at one point. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't showering. I wasn't cleaning. I could not function. And yet, nobody said anything. I had trained them so well to my eating disorder and my mental health disorder, and it was so normal, that chaos was so normal, that nobody in my family, my father, my brother, my husband, nobody said anything about it being abnormal. When I finally did emerge from my room, it was to be the violent, angry, mother that resented her life. I hated my life. It didn't answer my questions. I was, 300 pounds, and that was somebody else's fault. I was angry all the time, and that was somebody else's fault. I was violent, and look what you made me do. It was a life of self-pity and anger and hatred. But I didn't know that the hatred was directed at myself. It was coming out in all these other directions, but the main person I hated was me. And in turn, because I hated me, I hated God. God was, had abandoned me. The little bit that I knew about God, I had gone to a church. I was in many churches as my kids were growing up and asking for healing and never got healing and all of these things. And I guess I need to do a little, when my husband left, after abusing my children, he went to jail for what he did to my kids, all four of them. When I say he left, he ran for his life because I, in my rage, was looking for him to do him bodily harm when I found out what he was doing to my children. And I was forced to take on the role of caretaker for my children. I was forced by circumstance to get a job, to take care of my children. I still relied heavily on my daughter to help with the children, which put her in a very difficult place. But what changed for me at this point in time, I considered myself a born again Christian. I was in the church every time it was open. I was going to find healing. I was going to find fulfillment in that way. And my daughter came out as gay. My oldest daughter came out as gay. And when I say that, I'll go back to, I said my daughter was the reason I was born. That changed my world because I went to my preacher and I said, I don't know what to do. You told me this was wrong. And yet, here, and he said, kick her out. If she will not repent from this sin, you need to send her on her way. And I took a step back. And for the first time in my life, I made a decision that wasn't mine. And I said, whatever God there is did not give me this child to turn my back on. And that was the first decision that I made on the road that led me to OA and led me to recovery. So I left the church. I did not step back in a church for almost 20 years. That's extreme, but I do things in extreme. But what it did and how it applies to OA is it started an openness to create a new God because I realized that that God didn't work for me. Fast forward, it was chaotic. It was horrible. I took on some of the traits of my father, working 80 hours a week, leaving my children to raise themselves. And then I found AA. I played with alcohol because if I diet, if I go on Weight Watchers or if I do the Atkins diet or if I do whatever and I start losing weight, I will do other things. So I started drinking. And I thought that was my problem. Alcohol is not my problem. My problem is food. But I found the 12 steps through AA. And I only worked them half-heartedly. But it gave me a direction. It gave me an idea of the life that the 12-step program can give you. And so I played with AA for a long time. AA gave me the drive to go back to school. So I went back to school. I got my GED. I got my AA. I got my BA. I got my MA. I started teaching in a career that I felt I could offer the world something more than the chaos that I had brought to it before. But it still didn't handle my food. And AA didn't handle my food. And I didn't handle my food. And I was still angry at God. And God was still this old man sitting up on the clouds that was sending lightning bolts down at me every time he set me up for a test. And he would test me and I would fail the test and he'd punish me for failing the test. And that was my understanding of God was this mean, horrible person that, you know, opened up the earth and swallowed people whole and did all these other things. And so when I was angry at myself and angry at him, it made me angry at the world. And even all of my accomplishments that I did on my own self-will and I did on my own drive, or so I thought. I didn't realize God was leading me and doing all this for me. I was just angry. I was a victim, and I was so unhappy. So fast forward to 2018, I'm 326 pounds and miserable, and I got a brilliant idea that I'm going to go to Mexico and have gastric sleeve surgery. And I did.
5 more minutes.
Thank you. And I did. And I that went fast. Bless my heart. I talk a lot. Anyways, I had gastric bypass surgery. I lost all the weight. I hit goal weight. And my disease reared its ugly head. I started eating sugar again because I thought that I could handle that. And I started going into sugar blackouts. I would have candy in my room for my students. And I would go get candy and not realize I was doing it and come back. And the next thing I know, I've got 30 candy bar wrappers on my desk and I don't know how they got there. And that terrified me. And that brought me to OA. That brought me into the rooms. And I walked into the rooms a year ago, August, and I haven't left. Now, I haven't been absent the whole time. I only have 9 months of abstinence. But what I did is I kept coming back. You guys told me that if I stayed here, I would find peace and I would find recovery. And I did. But the best thing that you guys gave me is said, you said, look at God in a new way. Not necessarily, you know, get a God of your understanding. So what was the God that I needed? Well, first of all, I didn't need an old, nasty, a grumpy old man sitting up in the clouds. That didn't work for me. So now I have a God that represents the whole world, a non-binary God that is loving and kind and created me to bring love and kindness into the world, not anger and rage and violence. I got the 12 steps. I worked the 12 steps. I got a sponsor that is a huge blessing in my life. I got my sponsor in a very unusual way. I'd never met her, and she just became my sponsor. And she is probably one of the biggest gifts from God in my life today, because her gentle, loving kindness and her guidance keeps me coming back to the rooms, because she gently reminds me where I need to be. And that is a God thing. The 12 steps have healed my wounds. I've had a lot of therapy. I'm on medication for my bipolar. But the 12 steps helped me make amends to my children. And I have loving, caring friendships as well as parental child relationship with my children. Again, that has been building since I met the 12 steps 20 years ago. But OA was the completion of those steps. I actually worked the steps wholeheartedly, honestly, and with dedication for the first time in my life in this last year. And what I gained from that was peace. I have balance in my life. I'm no longer like this. I'm no longer like this. I'm like this. And I have contentment. And I have had big changes in my life, and I was able to meet them with grace and with compassion and with love. And all of those things are because of the 12 steps of OA and of my relationship with my higher power. So if I say the one thing about my eating disorder that I am grateful for, is it brought me you, and you guys were my higher power until I met my real higher power. And then I met my real higher power, and I gained peace and balance. And that is what I had prayed for my entire life. I just didn't want to feel crazy anymore. And I no longer do. There is a sanity in my life that is a price beyond, a pearl beyond price. It is the greatest gift. And if I died today, I could die in peace and contentment, because I know that I am where I'm supposed to be. So I think I've talked enough, and I feel I was a little scattered, but I really, really am grateful for you all. And I'm grateful to share my story with you. And I am grateful to be out of the food today and in recovery. So thank you for letting me share.